Welcome to House of Bread Podcast. This is Ben Nichols speaking at Abundant Life Church.
It's being funny. So, how many of you are ready to be a little bit more free this morning? You know, freedom only comes when we expose the areas of our hearts and our minds that actually need freedom. How many of you are still ready to be a little bit more free this morning? It's a dangerous invitation. It's dangerous. You know, many of us believe that life is easier to live when we neglect to look at the things that are right in front of us. We live with our heads in the sand. I'm sure you don't do this. It's just me. I mean, I'm sure you're not guilty of that. Or even worse, we recognize that there's a problem, but instead of going to the one who can meet the needs and resolve the issues of our heart, we settle for a quick fix. Or at least I do. I mean, I'm sure you don't do this at all. But you know, quick fixes aren't always healthy. You know, quick fixes... You know, they can lead to all sorts of diseases and spiritual digestive issues. They're not always safe either. You know, you might get a little ways down the road, but when you hit the first bump, you're going to be running into the same problem that you started out with. When you think you found a solution to get what you want, but all you did was set yourself up for a bigger problem to come. I don't know if you can see this or not, but this is pretty funny to me. You got a bunch of guys drinking beer in a pool who decide to put an electrical outlet on their sandals. That's a bright idea right there. You know you're a redneck when... How often do we treat issues of our heart and our minds and our lives with a quick fix? How often do we just try to patch it, hoping that things will work out for the best? We're all guilty. I'm really guilty. You know, at work, they've got a nickname for me. One of my coworkers, in a heated moment, decided he was going to tell me what my nickname was. And out of it, dangerous moment right there. Real dangerous moment. And out of his mouth, you know what people call you. I said, no, people call me my name, Ben. They call you 4-bolt Ben. Because you think you can throw 4 bolts at anything and fix it. Actually, that's a pretty good one. I like that. I'll take that. That's okay. That's, you know. is that really an insult? I can deal with that one. That's all right. You know, we were designed for a free life. A life filled with freedom. With nothing hidden. Let me ask you a question. What is the opposite of being hidden? Seen, right? What is the primary and necessary component for your eyes to be able to recognize the shape and the color of an object? Light. Light. Sight, which is one of our 5 senses, functions solely on light. Sight is primary to our perception. Objects, in and of themselves, don't contain color. They merely reflect different types of light. Isaac Newton. Our eyes only measure what we see based on the amount of light that a particular object is reflecting and transmitting. To reflect means to reproduce, to imitate, replicate, echo, to be a sign of, to point toward, display, manifest, transmit. To transmit means to broadcast, to put on air, to send out, put out, convey, pass on, spread, conduct, and communicate. Light reflected or transmitted is full of color. All of the beautiful images that you've seen come from light. Just think for a minute. What would you see in this room without light? What would you ever see without light? So light's a necessary component. But light absorbed holds no beauty. Light absorbed is colorless. Does that work? Can you see that? Absorbed. There's nothing. So light is required in order to see the beautiful things that we see, in order to perceive what it is that we're seeing, determine what it is that we're seeing. Seeing doesn't even begin until light enters the equation. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The true light that gives light to everyone. John 1, 4 through 6 and verse 9. The light blazing out of the darkness. The darkness could not put it out. I have come as a light to the world, so that whoever believes in me, whoever cleaves and trusts and relies on me may not continue to live in darkness. John 12, 46. Jesus says to Nicodemus in John 3, he says, until you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Once we choose the Christ life, we now have access to turn on the light. Not just to see the bad stuff, but to see everything that's in our hearts, everything that's in our lives, the way that God sees it. He turns all things for good.
Yes, he does.
So it's not just a light to shine to say, oh my gosh, I don't want to see what it is that's inside of me. It's not a light to shine to say, oh my gosh, this is going to be so terrible. It's a light so that God can show you what it is that he really sees. It's not to expose you so that you're found out. It's to expose you so that you can realize who you are as a son and a daughter of God. It's a life lived in a way that you experience a limitless amount of love, peace, joy, patience, kindness. He's a doorway. It's a doorway, but you still have a choice to walk through the doorway. Yes. Knowing Christ is a doorway, he says, come to me, I'm the light. But then you still have a choice to walk in and to see what it is that he has for you. You okay this morning?
Yeah, good.
An object is illuminated and brought to light when we begin the process of evaluating what it is that we're seeing based on the context of the surroundings of our past, in our past memory. The context in which we see light can affect the color of the object that we see. I wish that I had time to do this, but this morning I was hoping that I was going to be able to show you one color, which is gray. You put gray, you know, a strip of gray, on a big sheet of white paper, and you put that same color on a big sheet of black paper, and you've got two completely different colors of gray. Because your brain interprets the color, that gray color, differently based on the context of its surrounding. There's a lot that goes into our perception of how we see. When there's light shining and I see Jonathan, the man, immediately my brain triggers and I know, okay, this is Jonathan. I know Jonathan. He's my friend. I can trust. I can speak freely. I've got this exchange. Okay? All of a sudden, immediately, based on past experience, past perception, it is something that I can pull from a memory bank and say, I know who this is. Light exposed into somebody that all of a sudden I don't know, all of a sudden brings up, okay, this is the first time I've seen this person. I don't know their name. I don't know their... Okay? I'm going somewhere with this. What we see of an object depends upon the object, the lighting, and our perception. Johann Wolfgang won't even pronounce the last name. The authority of Christ in our lives gives us the authority so that we can see. He's the doorway, but we still have to choose to exchange our reality for His. God won't force His will on us. He won't force His desire on us. He doesn't take over our body once we say yes and all of a sudden, zap, there you are. That's not what this is about. This is a journey. It's a journey, a relationship. It's something that has depth and meaning, and there's transfer back and forth. Everybody okay? There's more to it. There's more to it than just an instant thing. There's more depth to it. He wants you to choose Him. And when you choose Him, then He's going to show you what He really sees. And in every area of our lives, in our marriages, in our friendships, relationships, in the way that we view ourselves, we've got to ask God, God, what do you see of me here? What do you see of me here? God, will you show me? Will you turn on the light in this area of my life? Will you give me your reality? Because God, I don't want to live by what I see, because what I see is hurt. What I see is pain. What I see is fear. What I see is shame. And God says, in those very places, I want to turn on the light. I want to turn on the light. I want to show you what I see. This morning, right now, you have an ability to change the way that you see someone and something based on where you position the light. You also have an ability to influence how someone sees you based on how you position the light in your life. Whatever you observe, you create. Whatever you observe, you create. The 10 spies observed giants, and that's what they've got. Only Joshua and Caleb observed, this is the land that God gave me. What you observe, you create. How much of what we're experiencing right now is simply a matter of repositioning the light? Right now, where is the light positioned in our relationship and in our circumstances? And are you looking at it? Is that what you're looking at? Are you consumed by everything else? Where is the light positioned in our relationships? We talk about perception a lot because perception determines our reality. And we can only embrace what God has for us to the degree that we embrace what God sees. It's not only applies to what you see, but what others see of you. When Paul said to be all things to all people, he was saying that, hey guys, there's a responsibility on our part to show the light and the life of Christ in the way that we act, in the way that we think, in the way that we live, in the way that we speak. It's not just a, hey, sometimes, here we are. It's an all-on thing. Now, the responsibility doesn't fall solely on you because somebody clearly has a choice on how they're going to perceive you. But if you live without the light being transmitted, if you live without the light being reflected in your life, they're never going to see who it is that God created you to be. So when you say yes to you, when you say yes to everything that God says that you are, what you're doing is you're opening it up so that even when their eyes are shut, what are they seeing? A bright light. Even when their eyes aren't wanting to see who it is that God's made you, you're not giving them a choice because it's so bright it consumes them. Have you ever looked at the sun with your eyes shut? It's still blinding. That's the way we were made to live. In every area of our life, we are to transmit and to reflect the glory of God on earth. In every area of our heart, in our mind, in our imagination, our thoughts, our words, our actions, we are to love so exuberantly. We are to be so fully who God made us to be that people can't help but see who it is that God made you. Are we okay? We are quiet this morning. So what areas do you need to reposition the light in your life? How do people know you? Do they know you as a negative person or someone who looks to present the good in others? How do people know you? We all, this is not a shame message by any means. We all can say, oh my gosh, how do people know me? Oh, Lord. We all of us have our stuff. Okay, so that's not a shameful thing. It's what are you doing with that stuff? Are you letting the light and the life of God invade those very areas of shame? Are you letting Him invade those areas of arrogance and pride? Are you letting Him invade those areas of, I'm not worth it? So that people look at you and they say, gosh, they have absolutely no reason to have life on them. They have no reason to experience joy. They have no reason to experience peace. They have every reason to be a mess, because every single one of you have permission to be a mess. You have excuses to be a mess. You have reasons to be a mess. Life is messy. It is complex. If I went down that road, I could say, you know what? Life is just difficult. It's hard. Every one of us have reasons why we failed in different areas. But you know that it's not sin that ever separates you from God. Do you know that? People think that sin causes separation from God. And it's not the act of sin itself that's the separation. It's the hiding that was happening before you sinned and the hiding that happens after you sin that causes separation from God. When you expose your sin to the light, when you expose the areas that you're struggling with to the light, that's when God says, hey, grace on you. Shame off of you. Let me empower you to change what it is that you're hiding. As soon as you bring that thing to light, and it is your choice, as soon as you say, God, here it is, when you get to that place, guess what? You are free. So are you willing to live? Are you willing to live with nothing hidden? Are you really wanting to be a little bit more free this morning? Are you willing to live completely fearless? Completely fearless of what it is that people might think of you. Completely fearless of what it is that you think people might see of you. It's only when you get to that place that you can really turn the light on. You can really become who you are in that specific situation or struggle, where God can illuminate who He's created you to be. We've been talking about favor. And in finding our place of favor, it's imperative that we don't live our lives hiding what it is or what we're going through. Favor isn't a matter of just finding the right thing to do to bring an end to all the battles in your life. It's about becoming the person that God equipped you to be, holding absolutely nothing back, so that your battles aren't what it is that concerns you anymore. When you focus on the battles, guess what? The battles will become all that consumes you. But when you focus on the light, the life, the grace, the freedom, the love, the peace, the joy, when you focus on that, that will be all that consumes you. I'm not here to do my will, but my Father's will. Can we live like that? It's our Father's will that His children discover who they are and in whose image we are made. And in showing weakness, we are made whole by His love and uncovered as the beauty of redemptive grace. Set free, alive, and on fire as a burning torch who can live fully. It's being made alive that we are compelled to lead others to the true light and the King of all redemption and grace. It's in this discovery of redemptive grace that we find security in who we are, especially with the mistakes that we've made. Especially with those mistakes. The things that we're hiding, especially with those things. We're made free from the redemption of our Father. But we can only be made free when we allow His grace to be active on the things that we are hiding. We are designed to live with nothing hidden. Nothing hidden. Nothing hidden. Nothing hidden. Can I do a higher note? No, we won't try. Whoops, too late. Completely fearless. Fearless of what it means to be found out. Fearless of what it means to be completely you. Fearless of giving the reins of your life back to the one who gives all life. Fearless to follow and to serve even when you're not given recognition. Fearless to follow and to serve even when you're not given recognition. Living as David, the man after God's own heart, when he says, God, you know every sin I've committed. My life's a wide open book before you. Psalm 65:9. Luke 8:17. For nothing's hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. The final word is this: listen to God, and one day there will be nothing hidden. All motives of all will be brought out into the open. Now, there's two types of hiding that are clearly outlined in the Bible. One is very much a protective season where God retools and equips you for what it is that He has next. There's lots of examples of this. Some of you are in a season of hiding. It's not something that necessarily you choose. It just happens to be a season that God takes us through. You can see it in the life of David, the cave of Adullam. Very much a hiding place for him. You can see it in the life of Samuel. You can see it in, you can just go on and on. There's lots and lots of examples. But it's in this season of hiding that we can also become comfortable. Some of you have been in a season of hiding, but that season's coming to an end. Most of you have been in a season of hiding, but that season's coming to an end.
That's good. Come on.
God wants you to live as though you're not in a season of hiding, so that if you are, you're not there by mistake. Forget that there's even a season of hiding, because we don't want to live like that. Nothing hidden. Nothing hidden. The second type of hiding comes from self-preservation. It's a safety mechanism that we use to defend ourselves against people getting too close. We block off people by hiding what it is that we don't want them to see. Unable, maybe even unaware that we are hiding, we block people from getting too close, so they don't see what's really underneath the surface. I'm sure none of you do that. It's just me. It's important to understand that the act of sin doesn't cause separation. The act of sin does not cause separation. I don't know why that's so ingrained in us. It's amazing. Think about the worst thing that you feel like you've done in your life. How would you feel to share that with somebody right now? I'm not telling. Why would I do that? Oh my gosh, what would they think of me? This would not be good. No. Okay. This is not the time. I should have known there'd be a few volunteers. Sorry. We'll leave it there. Sin hidden from the grace of Jesus Christ causes separation, but sin exposed to His love produces change. Where sin abounds, my grace abounds much, much more. Where sin abounds, my grace abounds much, much more. That's why this is a place that we can come fully free just as we are. But that's why it's not okay to stay just as we are, because when our sin is exposed in love, in grace, there is change. Grace is not the ability to withstand something, it's the ability to change what it is that wants to withstand. Grace is the power to change. So we're compelled. Jesus compels us with an irresistible invitation to enter into a lifestyle unrestricted and limitless. He invites us to live a freedom-centered life that abounds with grace. Grace that changes the chains of our past into the weapons of our future. As we receive His forgiveness for our sins, we're able to do away with our old way of living, godless living, meaningless and mundane. And now we're free and able to embrace a way of living where our debt is paid. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Luke chapter 12 and verse 1. It's Jesus speaking. It says, "By this time, the crowd, unwildly and stepping on each other's toes, numbered into the thousands. But Jesus' primary concern was His disciples. He said to them, 'Watch yourselves carefully so that you don't get contaminated with Pharisee yeast, Pharisee phoniness. You can't keep your true self hidden forever. Before long, you'll be exposed. You can't hide behind a religious mask forever. Sooner or later, that mask will slip and your true face will be known. You can't whisper one thing in private and preach the opposite in public. The day is coming when the whispers will be repeated all over town. I'm speaking to you as dear friends. Don't be bluffed into silence or insincerity by the threats of religious bullies. True, they can kill you, but then what can they do?'" "Well, they can kill me. Yeah, but then what? Well, they can kill me, but then what? No, but they can kill me. I don't want to be dead. Yeah, but then what?" Can you imagine being in that conversation? They must have just been like, "What is he saying? They can kill me. Of course they can kill me. Why am I worried about the next thing?" Oh, that was probably funny. Oh, man. There's nothing that they can do to your soul, your core being, save your fear for God, who holds your entire life, body and soul, in His hands. That word fear is the same word that's used to describe the fear of the Lord, which I've shared several times here, but it is a reverence and an awe of walking with God. It's not to be afraid of. It's not a don't want to approach you kind of fear. And we don't have an English word that translates, so we put those five words together, the fear of the Lord, to try to describe what it is that this feeling that you have. So it's not just like be so afraid of God. It's not that. It's something that has to do with a relationship and a trust. What's the price of two or three pet canaries? Some loose change, right? But God never overlooks a single one. He pays even greater attention to you, down to the last detail, even numbering the hairs on your head. So don't be intimidated by all this bully talk. You're worth more than a million canaries. Our culture puts leaders on a pedestal. We believe, we personify a leader as someone who flies above the rest. But in actuality, a leader doesn't fly solo. Some of you may have heard the analogy, like I have, that an eagle has an ability to see far, just as a leader has an ability to see far. And so in order to be a leader, we must fly high, and we must see far. What a load. Some of the greatest leaders that I know have a perception and a vision for the future, of course. And so their actions are very much future-based, but they're living today, right now, in this very moment. And they're not living alone. The greatest leaders that I know are up front. And they're not hiding what it is that are their mistakes They're living with them right here on the surface, so they can say, God, man, I've made that mistake. Good golly. Please, don't make this one. I'll show you why. Those are real leaders. So our culture's perception of leadership has ingrained itself into our minds, into our hearts, that we have to hide, that we have to shut down, that we have to put it under the surface. The greatest leader demonstrated his leadership through vulnerability. He openly and eagerly advocated a candid and open lifestyle that didn't allow room for hiding. He compels us, even now, to live fully free, open, pursuing a lifestyle that promotes your truest self in every moment. It's so easy to live our lives fragmented, separated. I disassociate at least a couple of times a day. I don't really. Come on. It'd be easy to, though, let me tell you that. Like, oh, geez. You're so serious. But what that does is it doesn't allow people to see who God made us to be. What that does is that absorbs the light, shying away from the moments when we can let His light shine the brightest. Now, not very many of us enjoy the process of exposure and embarrassment. The awkward, pride-swallowing, sweaty palm moments where we become human and admit that we aren't always bright and shiny. I'm sure you are bright and shiny all the time. Probably just talking to myself here. It's humbling. And it's usually humiliating. It hits all of our issues, all of our core issues. Am I loved? What will they think of me? Do I have what it takes? Does this disqualify me? I love listening to people's most embarrassing moments. It's funny. So this morning I've prepared a few stories of people in the room that I've really been wanting to share. Danny. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that. But I do have one or two. Be careful. Her face just became beet red. Like, I don't have any bad ones. There are all moments in life where we'd like to hide our struggles, hide our dreams, hide our passions, our fears, our marriages, our parenting struggles, our financial struggles. In hiding, we block our hearts from living fully and expressing freely. And I'm not saying that you need to be the human volcano that erupts on every person that you meet. Hi, my name is Bleh. Good morning. Nice to meet you. You've all met a few people like that. That's not what I said. That ain't right. That ain't right. What I am saying is that we should be willing to let the light of God shine in our hearts and our minds enough to look and recognize what it is that He sees. Not so that you can feel exposed and embarrassed of what's there, but so there can be grace that enters the equation so that you can change the areas of your heart and mind that are keeping you restricted from what it is that He wants you to experience. That's it. It means, Father, I'm just struggling right here. Would you just open my eyes to see? Would you open my eyes to see what it is that you really see so that He can just flood into your mind thoughts? So that He can flood into your imagination, words. This whole spiritual thing, if it scares you, shouldn't be scary. It very much is a real thing. When you have a thought, did it ever dawn on you that maybe God put it there? Well, I just conjured that up. Yeah, probably so. Doesn't God live inside of you? Doesn't he look at that thought and go, yeah, that'll work, that's it. Maybe he says, yeah, that's exactly who I am. It's realizing and recognizing the character, the nature, the way, the power, the authority. I've heard those words so many times. It is real, though. It's recognizing who God is. How do you get to know who God is? It's easy. Get around some people who know him. You can read the Bible. Fill your life, your mind, your imagination with who God is, his character. What is the character of God? And when you have questions of what his character is, that's usually the greatest revelations that God wants to reveal to you. When you start looking at something and you say, well, I don't understand, how did God wipe out these people in the Old Testament? And how does that relate to me today? That's a great question. Why don't you ask God? Why don't you start meditating and musing on his word and what he says about those things? Why don't you walk right over into that newer way of living that was exposed when Jesus came and took away all the things that disqualified us? And then start asking the same question. Why don't you get with a couple of friends and ask the question? Let God just illuminate it. Don't be afraid of it. That's what I'm saying. And then I'm saying go a step further. Those things that you've been afraid to look at, who are the three closest friends in your life? Three or four. That you can just share it openly, candidly. You know what? I'm struggling with this. This is real. Would you just be here with me and just... I'm just asking God to come into these areas of my heart, my mind, and help me walk through this stuff. Who do you have like that in your life? There are more than 6 billion people on this planet. You can find three. Ouch. I didn't mean it like that. Yeah, maybe I did. Who are three? Right now. You're struggling with something? Three people. What can't you share with those three people? And why? Why? Because of? Head in the sand? Trying a quick fix? Or afraid? What's keeping? Of what? You got to be willing to take a risk. Sure, you can get by without that. You can live your life on a set of principles and probably do pretty well. I give you about a 50% shot. Be all right. You can live a very nice little life, but never realizing who it is that God created you to be. Never fully understanding the capacity of his love, his joy, his peace that surpasses everything that you understand it to be. Exuberant joy overflowing in the middle of tragedy. I'm not talking about a fake facade where you lose somebody that you love and you're trying to smile and sing. I'm talking about the broken kind, where you can just sob in tears and say, but God, I still love you and I still know that you intend the best. I don't understand what it is that this is, but what I do know and what I do hold on to is that you're bigger than anything that I'm going through. You're bigger than death. You're bigger than fear. You're bigger than shame. You're bigger than affairs. You're bigger than abuse. You're bigger than all this stuff. And so I just look into your eyes, Father, and I embrace who it is that you are. I embrace what you see of this situation. I let go of all the things that I don't understand. I let go of all the things that are keeping me bound, and I embrace you in this very moment. We got to get to that place. We got to live like that in all moments. Knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is with us. Our English, North American culture has a view that we're supposed to live life balanced, but we weren't created for balance. This isn't a half-in, half-out relationship. Sure, you can treat it like that. Some of you may treat the people closest to you like that. How's that working out for you? Half in, half out. I am truly one of the most blessed people on the planet. Sure, I have excuses. Who doesn't? I am truly one of the most blessed people on the planet. I have people around me that without fear I go to them with anything. And I do mean anything. If you were to ask me, is there one thing in your heart or mind right now that you have never shared with anybody? I would tell you, no. Absolutely not. In fact, I could share almost every single one of them up here from the pulpit without shame. I'm not bragging on me. I'm just saying that's the feeling that you get when you have that type of relationship. Now, I'm blessed because I have people that I can trust, that have proven themselves trustworthy over time. But I can tell you that it wasn't always like that. I've also had relationships that I couldn't trust. I've been burned. I have been burned. So what keeps me from shutting down and blocking those people out? Because my security doesn't come in these people. Even if they do shut you down and block you out, that's not the point. It's very unfortunate. It is very damaging. It's very sad. It is something that you will likely have to mourn if it's somebody really close to you. And I know plenty of people have lost. We've all lost relationships like that. Every one of us. Anybody who's lived more than a minute has done that. And maybe part of the reason why you don't do that now. If you've had past marriages, it just starts multiplying. I've watched it with people time and time again. If you've been in a church for very long, oh my gosh. It's like everybody in a church feels that way. Because we come here to live this way that I'm talking about in the beginning, 5 minutes into our conversion experience, whatever the heck that is, we realize, oh, these people are mean. Ouch! Oh, I'm not going back there. It wasn't about that. It's about you. This is about your heart. This is about your mind, your relationships, your relationship with God, your relationship with your spouse. Yes, it should be that you have covenant relationships with people around you, at least 3 or 4, that you can share openly. But if you get burned, you know what? No shame. I'm just telling you. If they don't get it, shame off you and shame off them. Just forgive them. Because you know what? God will bring those people in your life. He will bring those people in your life if you are willing. Jesus says, look for me and my kingdom first, and all these things will be added to you. It doesn't say look when it's convenient. If it's nice and you feel like it, look for me. No. He says that we're all to be baptized by the Spirit of God. Baptismo. Yeah, I don't know. To be fully submerged and engulfed. It's God's desire to inhabit every area of your life, once again, not balance. If you want to find the God balance in your life, then you have to embrace a lifestyle where nothing is hidden. How close does someone have to be to know the most intimate details of your life? I already asked that question, but it's something that we need to solidify. How close does somebody have to be to know the most intimate details of your life? And why is it that you can't share them? Who are the top 12 relationships for this year, and how much are you willing to share with them? Once you've been submerged by the Spirit of God, you alone are responsible for the reality that you live in. In being responsible, it means that you have authority over your reality, regardless of what you're going through. Whatever you observe, you create. And what ways are we blocking our hearts from living fully and expressing freely. With God, with our closest three friends, and with the people that we may not even know. Seeing doesn't even begin until light enters the equation.
Yeah, come on.
If by some chance you are here and you have no idea what it is that I'm talking about. If by some chance you have just been totally confused and bewildered by this whole God thing, this whole Jesus thing, it's real simple. It is not a big complicated thing. They're leaving to get the kids, if you're wondering. It's just allowing, it's recognizing that, yeah, on your own stuff, in your own ability, you don't have what it takes. Yeah. You have to first recognize that. And then you embrace a man who came as a doorway for you to enter into everything that God has for you. It's confessing with your mouth, God, I don't deserve this. I don't even understand this. But you know what? I do recognize that you sent your son that paid a price for my sin. Somebody that was perfect and blameless. Perfect and blameless. And you sent him for me. So, whatever this looks like, I want to embrace you. I want to embrace this grace. Whatever this is that this guy's talking about, I want to embrace this grace. It's really that simple. We do things a little different here. We don't take a poll. We don't have you come stand up front with your knees shaking because you're so afraid of being in front of people. Just tell somebody, will you? Just say, hey, I never even said something like this. If you don't know what that looks like, just talk it out with them. There's not any magical prayer. I think that you should probably recognize, hey, you know what? I can't do this on my own. Probably a good place. You should probably recognize, Jesus, yeah, you did come. And I don't even understand what that means, but you did come. And you paid the price once and for all. You will get it. You'll understand. And then tell somebody so they can help you. So they can help you on this faith journey. To love it all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully, round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all the entanglements. Lock it up safe in a casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in a casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. To love is to be vulnerable. So, I've got something pretty excited about. God really put it on my heart to continue to push forward the women in this body, the women in this city, women in general. I had a little girl about 9 months ago, and it changed my life. It absolutely wrecked me. I kind of got it. Now I got it. I kind of understood. Now I understand. I grew up with two older sisters that I loved a lot. I grew up with a mom that I loved a lot. I'm very fortunate. I was in a class of all girls until I was in the sixth grade. No boys. Now all you guys know why I'm so weird. Hello! Yep. Secret's out. It's a dangerous world we live in. So, I've always had an appreciation of women. I grew up knowing that there's a level of honor and respect that any man should have for a woman. I didn't grow up just knowing it, like information-wise. I think I grew up knowing it. Like, I really, in my heart, something triggered when I was little, and I just don't have a hard time. I know that with guys, it's a little different than it is for with a woman. And I try to be aware of that. But God did something different when I had a little girl. He just unleashed my mind and my heart to understand what His feeling is about women. And there is not, it is the most innocent, full, open-hearted feeling that I could even, I can't even explain it. I just want to tell you that when God created Adam, He created Adam, He created Eve in His image. And the image of God is both masculine and feminine. The image of God is the full capacity of everything feminine just as much as it is masculine. Our perception of God as a father, as a man, is so misconstrued that it breaks God's heart. Absolutely shatters His heart. And women hold a key to something that nobody else can unlock. And this isn't a, I'm not a pro-feminism thing. This is just me sharing my heart about what God's showing me. So the beginning of this year, I really had on my heart that God wanted to help. I was supposed to come in some way, help push something forward. So this July, the 13th and 14th, we are going to have a ladies-only event called Fearless. And it's going to be July the 13th and 14th with Anthony Chapman's wife, Chris Chapman, Miss Becky Taylor, and Miss Janet Robinson. And I am so excited about this. I can't even tell you. I am absolutely thrilled. Every one of these women have something that is so critical to who it is to walk fully, freely alive in God. And every one of them wanted to say no. That's how good it's going to be. You think I'm kidding. You should have seen the email that I got from Miss Chapman about not wanting to come because she's an out-of-the-box one. She's a wild one. She really is. She's like, if you're in for a women's conference, I just got to let you know this is not me. I'm like, oh, I know. I've known her for 12 years. So Miss Becky Taylor, her face went white. She's like, yeah, sure. I'll help you promote it. I was like, no. I'm going to pull it out of you. Miss Janet Robinson, very diligently and graciously accepted. You know what? I am so excited. I am so very excited.
Ben, I want to tell you how prophetic your message is today. I've never carried a flashlight with me to church.
You got more of them?
And I've never carried my jackknife to church. That is a fact. This is one of the most cutting edge. This is one of the most cutting edge messages that this church has had. And it's going to cut through for so many lives in here that it's so awesome. I've just been shaking in my seat back there.
Come on.
And I know it's part of it's for me, but I just see such a breakthrough with this message. But it is prophetic that I had this in my pocket and that I had this knife. And God just kept telling me, this is a cutting-edge message.
Come on.
And I'm just shaking right now.
It's all right.
With the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was one of the most bashful people in this town. I went to Bellingham High School. I won the Shyness Award out of 450 people in my class. That
Come
is
on.
A fact.
Thank you.
And I'm known probably to some people who really know me as one of the boldest people you've probably ever met, especially in the prayer room.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when it's out there to see people delivered and healed or whatever. But I just feel this message. You need to really listen up on this message. This is so prophetic that it's going to shake this place. It's going to shake Bellingham.
And I believe that it's going to make you, each one of us, so open, so alive with Christ, so filled with the light. That this year is going to be so huge.
Yep.
It is.
Yep.
I just see it coming. I've been actually kind of shaking in my boots the last couple of days where I could hardly even talk because I just felt this coming on.
Well, bless you.
And I didn't know what it was going to be.
Yeah, so, bless you. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
That may really freak some of you out. It's a very credible man. Very credible man. So that was a very big deal. So appreciate you doing that very much. So, fearless.